Life to the max. Do you recognize that? I didn't know they were going to be here this morning, John and Tess. Life to the max on the side of the Adventure Plus vans. Life to the max, taken of course from this morning's reading, where in verse 10 we read, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. And the title for today's talk is The Gate That Leads to Abundant Life. What exactly is this abundant life, and how do we experience it? The verse comes at the very end of the reading, as it happens, where our Lord earlier had referred to several images associated with looking after sheep: the pen, the watchman, the shepherd, the thief, the gate. And our Lord uses these images in different ways to teach different things about himself as the good shepherd that we didn't read on to. That's in verse 11. But he's teaching about himself as the good shepherd and teaching about his sheep, those who hear his voice, those who follow him, the shepherd. Now, a sheep pen looked in those days much as you might expect it to look. It was a walled enclosure, and it would have had one gate that was guarded by the gatekeeper, the watchman. I've been reflecting on this as I looked at the, you know, I said, who actually is the watchman? I'll come back to that perhaps in a moment, but I have a feeling the watchman is God. Because we read that the sheep pen contained sheep from all kinds of different flocks. What happens is that the good shepherd enters the sheep pen, and those who are his, they recognize his voice and they follow him. So you could say that the sheep pen really was a picture of the world. And it's just my own theory. You can, you know, disagree with this if you want to. Of course you can. But I just wonder whether the fact that this is Jesus giving us a picture here of God, sustaining his world and the people in it. But he sends Christ as the gate to eternal life. And some sheep hear his voice, and others, as we heard in the reading, ignore it or do not listen to it or do not recognize it. So each shepherd in those days would enter the pen, and as the sheep recognized the shepherd's voice, so his own sheep would find themselves coming out from amongst all the other sheep and following that shepherd. And we have to recognize, of course, that in our world there are many shepherds, but they're not all the good shepherd. People follow other shepherds. I wonder how you first heard and recognize the Lord's voice. That inner voice or prompting that made you turn to the church or pick up a Bible or attend an Alpha course. Or maybe you had a dream like Alfred, our former, you know, who was a Muslim. He had a dream of Jesus. So he went to an Alpha course as a result of that dream. Perhaps you simply knew someone who was a Christian. Perhaps you were brought up in a Christian home. But at some stage, at some time, you would have acknowledged that you were hearing the shepherd's voice and responded accordingly to it and received from that the life-changing experience of encountering and following Jesus Christ. From the stories of others and from my own story, I've been aware of a hand shaping my life even before I became a Christian, a hand that drew me to Christ through Sunday school and the testimony and the witness of other much older, mature Christians than myself. Our journeys into faith are all very personal, and some are less straightforward than others. When I was a vicar in Southampton, I recall a Chinese girl studying at Southampton University with good technical English for the subject in which she was studying, but not very good English otherwise. And she was drawn towards our church, which is amazing, really, because it didn't even look like a church. It was just a former church hall that had been converted into a church. Didn't even have a cross on it. I put that right later on, but it didn't have a cross on it even. She started to come each week and came to experience and get to know Jesus through the music, the prayers, the preaching, that which she understood. And she got to know him long before she understood who he was. She was responding, you see, to the shepherd's voice. Later she attended an Alpha course and learnt about him, was baptized and then confirmed. But she had already met him and started to follow him as a sheep, follows its shepherd. And there'll be those who were on the streets of Whitney yesterday, getting involved in the evangelism, street evangelism, sharing of Jesus that's been inspired by the Turning Project down in Reading, where many people have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And there'll be those who simply responded because already, I suppose you have to say through the Holy Spirit, their hearts were being prepared to respond to the shepherd's voice when it was spoken to them through the people who were on those streets yesterday. I'm reminded of that verse from Revelation 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him or her, and he or she with me. Now, so far, our Lord has described himself as the shepherd whose voice the sheep respond to. But now he, as he starts talking about being the gate to the pen, he's taking on a slightly different image, or he's teasing out a different image. He describes himself as the gate to the sheep, and he says in verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. When Barbara and I go out walking in, well, we used to walk in Dartmoor quite a lot, and we have walked in the past in the Yorkshire Dales and places like that, and you see these sheep paths tracing their way, many of them all over the hillsides. And often they will be leading back to the farm or to the pen where the sheep would normally be kept. You see, there are many ways that we find Jesus. There are many roads to Jesus, but there is only one Jesus. There's only one gate. There is only one sheep pen. There is only one kingdom of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus says these words, I am the way. You know these words well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And here also, our Lord uses the image of the sheep pen for a different reason. Earlier, it could be said that he was using it as a picture of the world, where there are many gathered, many sheep gathered, and different shepherds come in and draw them out. They hear different voices, and the good shepherd goes in and they hear his voice. But now he seems to be using the sheep pen as the image of the kingdom of God itself. And the only way into that pen, into that kingdom of God, is through himself, the gate. The gate is himself, is Jesus. And there's protection implied in that, because quite often the shepherds in those days would lie in front of the gate to protect the sheep who were enclosed within it. So it's not just about him being the way through, but also once you're through, there is that protection. Which brings me now back to the title, The Gate That Leads to Abundant Life. Where is abundant life to be found and experienced? In the sheep pen, in the kingdom of God. And all of us who love Jesus are in the sheep pen, citizens of that kingdom. And eventually, when God returns and dwells again with his people at the redemption of this world, and then we will know exactly what it means to experience an abundant life. We'll know that in its very fullest sense. We'll understand ourselves and why we were created to be the people we were created to be, because we will find that fulfillment in our own lives within the kingdom of God. We'll experience it in all its glorious splendor and beauty. It will be a truly abundant life, truly life to the full, truly life to the max. But the question you may be asking is, yes, but how do we live that abundant life in the here and the now? Now, as I was thinking about this, I was planting a brand new clematis in our garden, wasn't I, Jane? She was out there when we were buying it. And I found myself praying for this plant. Don't laugh. For it to thrive and not die, and to be a highly successful clematis. And if it isn't, it's for the chop. No, I don't mean that. But I recognized also that it will involve my nurturing, pruning, feeding, watering. And it struck me that an abundant, fruitful garden, I don't know this really, comes from one that is nurtured, protected from disease, pruned, and so on. And sheep herded together in a pen will be secure, will be fed, will not get lost, and will be protected by the walls of the pen from intruders and thieves. The sheep pen also will limit their behavior. Beyond that, you do not go. And for the Christian in the sheep pen, for the Christian in the kingdom of God, there is nurture and protection and pruning. I'm mixing my metaphors, as you can see. Limits are set on us on what kind of life is appropriate for us as Christians generally to engage in, but also what sort of life each one of us is supposed to be following and leading and doing. Are we to be a clematis or a potato? But what is an abundant life? What does it look like? I suppose for me the key word is this word prosperity. When we are in the kingdom of God, we should expect to prosper in all aspects of our life, in our relationships, at work, in the church, in our fruitfulness as Christians, in life as a whole. I get a great sense of well-being and prosperity when out walking in the Cotswolds and rejoicing in the glory of our surroundings and our wonderful Creator. I won't gloss, though, over the fact that there will be struggles, and even in those struggles, though, I have experienced personally the knowledge of the Shepherd lifting me up and caring for me and sustaining me, and in that, there is a prosperity. And of course, we have our own 21st century challenges to our faith and Christian living. And spiritual protection will be needed. Every day we will be tempted. Every day the media will pour scorn on our faith. Every day we will encounter circumstances where to be a Christian will be tough, and the temptation to compromise with the world will be strong. But if, within the sheep pen, we are persistent in prayer and Bible reading and Christian fellowship and rely constantly on the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, then we will inevitably hear the Shepherd's voice. And if we obey, that voice will flourish and prosper spiritually. If we spend our time walking with our Shepherd, we should expect to be blessed by that companion. And we will live fruitful lives, abundant lives, and enjoy life to the max. Amen.